Well, good morning, everyone. It's good, nice to be back after a few weeks away. To begin our time, please join me in prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for bringing us together. It's good to be able to meet this morning. Lord, we just acknowledge that this experience of meeting separately, virtually, is not what we would choose. You know, God, we'd so much rather be physically together, you know, sharing cups of coffee, laughter, telling stories, exchanging hugs. But Lord, today we acknowledge that despite the fact that we ache to be together, that we are still yours, that we are still your church. And for that, we are thankful. Indeed, Lord, we acknowledge that around the world today are people who cannot openly profess their faith. Followers of Jesus for whom even whispering the name of Jesus or owning a Bible may have consequences. Churches that meet in secret. And so this morning, for our brothers and sisters who experience real persecution because of their faith, we ask for strength, for perseverance, for visions of you that will sustain them. We ask for the dismantling of structures that oppress. And Lord, we ask that for us, those of us who so easily take for granted our freedoms, that we would see these brothers and sisters as examples of faith to inspire us. Now, Lord, as we prepare for our teaching time this morning, we ask that you would give us ears to hear what your Spirit is saying this morning. Amen. You know, one of the realities of the past few months is that we've been forced out of the normal patterns and rhythms of life. You know, things that previously we wouldn't have given a second thought to now takes more consideration, it takes more planning. For example, if I'm going to go to the grocery store, I need to remember to take my face mask with me now, right? And while some of these changes are just annoying, and others, well, let's be honest, they're a little bit freeing, for some of us, we might find ourselves questioning during this time, who am I? Who are we? Because the things that somehow defined us, like maybe our social lives, are gone or different. Or if we get our value out of getting things done, suddenly we're not able to accomplish the things that we were used to accomplishing. See, for some of us, the basis of how we understand ourselves, even define ourselves, well, that has shifted during this time. You know, as we get into our passage this morning, the passage that Emily read for us, John begins by reminding us about who we are. That who we are is not based on the things that we do. It's not based on what we accomplish or anything else, but as followers of Jesus, who we are, that is our very identity and our value, is based on our standing with Jesus. Verse 1 says, "See how much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are." See, as followers of Jesus, we are recipients of God's over-the-top, lavish, generous, life-changing love. It is a love that transforms who we are from the people we were before we met Jesus into people who have an up-close, intimate, personal relationship with God. No longer are we outsiders, but we have been brought into the life of God's family with all the privileges and responsibilities that comes with being a part of this family. Again, this is a life-changing encounter that we have with Jesus, and we are no longer defined by our past, but we are defined by our connection to Jesus. And so for some of us this morning, this is where we need to camp out. Why? Well, because our failures and our struggles, they seem really big. They seem so loud and so overbearing that they seem to color everything about who we are. And to us, and maybe even some of the people around us, our mistakes are so big that they can't be forgotten. And so in many ways, we feel trapped. But the message of Jesus is of God's unconditional love. It's a message of freedom, forgiveness, and new starts. See, when we encounter Jesus, we are invited to accept God that God loves us and he has always loved us, and that our sin no longer needs to call the shots in our lives. See, to accept this is to embrace a new way of relating to ourselves that is only made possible through Jesus. You know, we can say, "I'm not that person anymore," or "my sin doesn't define me. What makes me matter is that I'm a part of God's family and I'm dearly loved." And so for some of us this morning, this is where we need to camp out. You know, when we embrace Jesus, that is to say, when we follow him, we are changed. But as John points out, this change may not be understood by those around us who don't know Jesus. And this makes sense because they are missing a perspective on life that we have, that Jesus perspective. And this gets us back to a theme that's found at the beginning of 1 John, that through Jesus we are given a taste or a glimpse into God's kingdom and the future that in one hand is coming, and yet in a real way because of Jesus is already here. See, in the world that we live in, things like judgment, revenge, and writing people off as being bad or lost causes, that's kind of normal. But because of Jesus, the characteristics of freedom and love and forgiveness and peace and joy and kindness are here to be experienced now and are here to be shared now. These are the norms of God's kingdom. And as followers of Jesus, we are to live out these character traits, understanding that they're going to stand out as being different and strange and perhaps even unsettling to those who do not know Jesus. Now, this status of being new people because of Jesus is something that is true and yet at the same time is in process. We can say that we have been changed, we are being changed, and that we are waiting to be changed all at the same time. We are in process and yet our identity as God's children is secure. And John uses this imagery of sight to maybe help us understand this. Now, for those of us who have an uninhibited ability to see, I'm going to invite us to imagine for a moment what it would be like to not be able to rely on our sense of sight. You know, life would continue, but we would have to learn to rely on our other senses. And of course, not being able to see does not disqualify us from having deep and meaningful relationships with other people. But imagine that after years of being unable to see, that we are suddenly given the gift of sight. We are able to see things that before we only imagined. And now we can experience the faces of our loved ones for the first time. I mean, that would be a life-changing experience. It would be like suddenly we get to see something, experience a side of life that previously was hidden from us. You know, as followers of Jesus right now, we are in a sense in a relationship with him without the ability to experience him fully. We are following him the best that we can, experiencing him and growing in our love for him. And all this is genuine and real. But in a way, we haven't fully laid eyes on him, that there's more to be seen. But as his followers, there is a promise that what is for now out of sight will be made known and we will see him. And when we do see him, everything will be made complete. And John says that we will be made like him. Here's the thing. Following Jesus is about becoming like Jesus. This is what God desires for us. You know, Jesus in scriptures is described as being the true Adam. That is to say, he perfectly embodies what it means to be human, what God's intention was and is for people like us. And here John is saying that this process of becoming like Jesus is to be the trajectory that our lives are the trajectory of our lives for those of us who call ourselves followers of Jesus. I'm just getting back from a couple weeks off of vacation, and one of the vacation projects that we had was to be working on a deck, a new deck that we were building. And so my father-in-law, Murray, hi Murray, I know you're watching. Thanks for your help over the last couple weeks. We were working on this deck. And then when it came to building the steps, we needed somebody with some more expertise. And so we called on another family member to come show us how do you build the stringers. And the stringers are the things that the steps actually sit on. And one of the first things that he did when he came is he measured out and he cut this piece of wood. And I'm not sure if you can see it, but it says PAT, that stands for pattern. And this piece of wood was to be the pattern that helped guide the rest of our step building process. See, what we did is we took that piece of wood and then we used it to trace out and cut other pieces of wood so that they would match this one. And all these little pieces of wood then came together to build the steps that we now can walk up and down on. Together, you know, this one little piece started us out on a process that enabled us to achieve our purpose. You know, in a way, Jesus serves as our pattern for what it means to be truly human as God intended. And as we look to him and we allow him to direct the shape and the purpose of our lives, we become more like him and are given the shared purpose of embodying what God's kingdom is all about. And we are to bring this unseen dimension to life so that others can see and experience it for themselves. But again, in a sense, we are doing this without fully seeing what God is up to. We have had hints, we've had glimpses and tastes, but ultimately this is where faith comes in. And John calls this having an eager expectation. It's this idea that we've been captured in a good way. We've been captured by Jesus, having our attention tuned into what God wants to do in us and through us. And so our response to this is to keep ourselves pure. Now, we could struggle with this wording, to keep ourselves pure. Another translation says to purify ourselves, because it sounds like we need to do something to get into God's good books. But this isn't what John is getting at. Rather, what John is saying is that our response to being loved by God is to ultimately turn away from what is sinful, to intuitively and almost responsively turn from who we were before we met Jesus into new patterns of life that reflect the life of Jesus. You know, there's a story in the Gospel of Luke of a man named Zacchaeus. He's a man who is a social outcast who the folks in his town would have struggled to think of as somebody who God loved. They probably could have thought of him as somebody who God was going to judge, but love seemed a little bit far-fetched. And yet Jesus meets with Zacchaeus. And as a result of meeting with Jesus, Zacchaeus turns around and he commits himself to being fair and just. Now, there's nothing recorded in this story about Jesus sitting down with Zacchaeus and saying, "Now, Zacchaeus, you need to go and do this or that. You need to go change your ways." Zacchaeus just kind of does it. It's a natural response to encountering the unconditional love of God through Jesus. See, when we encounter the love of God, our response is to pursue a life that is shaped by Jesus. And this is what John means by being pure. But how do we make ourselves pure? Well, if we look at verses 4 to 10, we hear John say, "Anyone who continues to live in him," that is to live in Jesus, "will not sin." Now, let's be honest, this is a bit troubling because we all know that we sin, like a lot, right? Like sin is a problem for us. So what does this mean? Well, to begin, when John says that we are to live in him or to abide in him, this is his way of talking about following Jesus. It refers to the sharing of Jesus' life, where Jesus shares his life with his followers and it results in transformed character. Now, of course, as followers of Jesus, we do sin from time to time. And you know what? John knows this. But what he is talking about is a habit of life where we don't just go about sinning as if it were normal or okay. Instead, we are to go about our lives as followers of Jesus, doing our best to avoid all sorts of sin. And you know what? We're going to fail. But these failures are to take place in a life where sin is no longer setting the tone. It no longer defines who we are or what we do. Another way of describing this would be to talk about how as followers of Jesus, we're playing a different piece of music now than we were before. And even if our fingers slip and we play some of the wrong notes or we play a song that we used to play before, it doesn't mean that we're just going to quit playing the new tune. Instead, we are committed to learning this new piece of music that's in front of us. Now, it shouldn't be surprising that John says, "Don't let anyone deceive you." I mean, there are many people in John's day that would have thought, hey, sin is no big deal. And there's many people in our society today who would say the same thing. But here's the thing, to carry on as if there is no change of life required of us, well, that shows whose side we are on. And if we're going to go back to the first two verses of this passage, we are reminded that we have been made into new people with a new identity as God's children. And being born of God means that God's life is inside of us, and that this life is incompatible with any approach to life that just thinks that sin is an acceptable part of how we live life. You know, as I thought about this passage this week, two reflection questions came to mind. The first is, what can I do today to embrace being a child of God who is dearly loved? What can I do today to embrace being a child of God? And what came to mind is a story that I found in Luke chapter 10. It's a story of Jesus visiting a home of a woman named Martha. And Martha is the perfect hostess, is doing everything that she can to try to make sure that things are perfect for her guests. She's busy. But as she is busy working, she catches a glimpse of her sister Mary just sitting with Jesus. And this sets her off. I mean, how could her sister do this when there's so much to do? And so she complains to Jesus. You know what? Often we are like Martha. We have lots of things to do. We have things on the go, good things that need to get done, things that need our attention. But we can let these things start to climb on our priority list to the point that they start calling the shots in our lives in ways that just aren't healthy. For Martha, all the things that needed to be done were keeping her from enjoying Jesus. That's what Mary was doing. Mary was just sitting there enjoying spending time with Jesus. And Jesus tells Martha, "You are concerned about many things, but Mary has chosen what is better." For us, for me, something to practice this week is just being with Jesus. You know, we can get so tied up doing good things, doing spiritual things, getting our, attacking our to-do list that we never slow down just to sit with Jesus, to read scripture slowly, to stare out the window and allow ourselves to contemplate what it means and to listen for God to speak. You see, our spiritual practices are often to-do lists. Rather, to embrace who we are as God's children requires that we slow down and learn to just be. Now, the second reflection question, I think, just flows out of this first one. And it's, how will I respond to God's love for me? Now, to be clear, I'm not thinking that what we're talking about is just doing something for the sake of doing something, but rather allowing ourselves to react to God's love naturally. And so maybe we could be looking for somebody that we can show an act of love to, or an act of generosity towards, something that might be appreciated. Or maybe there is a new direction for our lives, or the rejection of an old habit. Maybe that is the natural response to our understanding and taking in God's love for us. Please join me as we pray. Lord Jesus, we want to say thank you for today. Thank you for your great big love for us. Thank you that you have made us your children. Lord, help us to live in that love. Amen. Well, as we wrap up our time together this morning, I wanted to share some church family news with you. This week, Mimi Lee let me know that after nearly 21 years of being our church administrator, that she'll be stepping down at the end of this month. Now, if you've ever talked to Mimi about how she got into this role in the first place, she'll tell you about how she took this role temporarily and never thought she'd be here as long as she has. I mean, that right there is a testimony to Mimi, is a testimony to this church family, and for everything that Mimi's done, we are tremendously thankful. You know, I'm not sure how to fully explain all the ways that Mimi has contributed to West Heights over the years. She's a part of so many things that we've done, offering support, creativity, giving leadership, and paying attention to the details that nobody else sees. She's been a fantastic resource to the staff team. And personally, I will say that Mimi really helped, has been a positive presence in helping me transition into leadership over the last couple of years. So thank you, Mimi. Now, the good news is that Mimi is not leaving West Heights. This is a good transition. She's still a part of our church family. She will still be involved as a volunteer. And so while we say goodbye to her in her role as an administrator, we are happy to be able to continue our friendship and our relationships with her. Now, practically speaking, a transition like this raises some questions, and you know what? We're going to need some time to figure out what our next steps will be. But in the meantime, I'm confident that we have the in-house ability to be able to carry on, and so email and phone calls will be monitored and will be responded to in a timely fashion. In closing, Mimi, I just want to say that on behalf of your church family, we want to say thank you. Thank you for everything that you have done, everything that you will continue to do. We appreciate you, not just in your role as an administrator, but in your role as, it's just in your presence as a part of our church family. And so I want to say thank you for everything that you've done and all the ways that you contributed. Well, folks, this is the end of our service. Kind of an interesting note to end on, but that's okay. If you'd like to continue on in conversation, we do have our virtual foyer, and you can click on the link that's in the description of the video below, or hopefully in the chat if we get it there. We'd like to be able to continue your conversation in our foyer time. Anyways, have a great week, folks. Looking forward to connecting again soon. Bye.